NPR.
We talk about home ownership as this kind of binary thing, like you're either a renter or you're a homeowner. But there is another form of home ownership that is often a lot cheaper. So this is where you own your own house and everything in it, but you do not own the land underneath it. And that is the deal for millions of Americans who live in mobile home parks around the country. Most are on low or fixed incomes. The median income is around $35,000 a year for the household. And mobile home parks are this vast reservoir of affordable housing at a time when it's in such short supply. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darian Woods. And today on the show, we have Chris Arnold, who is NPR's housing correspondent. Welcome back, Chris.
Hey, Darian. Thanks. So yeah, I want to talk about this trend in mobile homes, and that is big companies have been buying up these mobile home parks around the country, and they see them as a solid and profitable real estate investment. But housing advocates say some of these companies are basically being bad landlords. There have been lawsuits around the country alleging that they neglect to fix all kinds of problems in the parks while extracting a lot of money in rents from the residents.
Today, we will home in on one legal fight in Florida, which pits mobile home residents against the multi-billion dollar company which owns their park.
This message comes from our sponsor, Lincoln Financial. How much money will you need to not worry about money? Lincoln Financial has a suite of annuities and life insurance policies designed to help protect you from sudden market downturns while allowing growth when the market performs well, so you and your family can stay on track financially. Go to lincolnfinancial.com/protection to see how they can help you plan, protect, and retire. Lincoln Financial products issued by the Lincoln National Life Insurance Company, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Lincoln Life and Annuity Company of New York, Syracuse, New York. Distributed by Lincoln Financial Distributors, member FINRA.
5 years ago, Mike Noel retired and moved from Rhode Island to the Heritage Plantation Mobile Home Park in Florida. It's about a 20-minute drive from Vero Beach.
I thought I was moving to paradise and you know, beautiful weather and, you know, being able to fish 12 months of the year instead of 3 or 4 months like in Rhode Island.
And his home really does look more like a regular house than what you might think of as a mobile home.
Yeah, it's got like a small yard and a covered carport and this little shed for his gear.
This is my shed.
So you've got a whole bunch of fishing rods.
Yeah.
They've been called mobile homes for a long time. And they're initially mobile. Like they get wheeled in on these big trucks and put on foundations. And they're not really mobile after that.
But in most of these parks, you don't own the land underneath your house. And that makes this a pretty vulnerable form of home ownership.
Mike says he learned that the hard way after it started to rain.
The first time it flooded here, it was like, holy crap, this is not good.
I've actually got a photo of Mike standing in the flooded street with water, you know, up to his knees with a look on his face. It's like, what the hell?
This is not good. Mike says that whenever a hard rain came through, the roads and the driveways flooded. And it wouldn't drain away for hours and sometimes days.
Residents say the water has damaged their homes, and sometimes they get trapped in their houses, and some are elderly. They say emergency vehicles have sometimes refused to respond to calls due to the flooding.
The people across the street are in their 90s. I know people that couldn't get to their chemotherapy appointments.
And then there's the slip and fall hazards, like bad lighting and a slime that residents say oozes up from yards after the flooding, and it makes the roads and driveways like really slippery. They say people have fallen and ended up in the hospital.
A group of residents has detailed these and other complaints in a lawsuit against the park's owner, a company called Equity Lifestyle Properties, or ELS.
They allege that ELS has ignored their complaints and failed to fix the broken stormwater drain system, a system they say that the company agreed to provide in a state-mandated legal document.
And it's worth mentioning here that the local county is also unhappy over this issue. In fact, ELS has racked up more than $150,000 worth of code enforcement fines as the flood water is apparently getting into the city's sewage system.
But for its part, ELS says it has fixed that problem and is resolving the issue with the county. And with regard to the lawsuit, ELS denies wrongdoing. The company wouldn't talk to us, but in a statement said that the lawsuit misrepresents conditions at the park and that it invests in the park to ensure that it remains a desirable neighborhood. Attorney Beth Fagan, though, says she's not buying that.
The park knows that they can't pick up their home and leave. And so these complaints have really just gone ignored.
You might have heard Beth Fagan's name before because she sued Harvey Weinstein as part of the Me Too movement. And here, too, she sees this as a fight where the underdog needs help. ELS is this huge publicly traded company that lists about 200 mobile home parks in its portfolio. It also owns RV parks and marinas. Its net income was about $263 million last year.
And Beth says the issues here go way beyond this individual case.
We're trying to right a wrong that we see that is systemic in an industry and really use it as an example to let the industry know that we're going to come after them, right? If they don't put the money in to maintain the infrastructure in these parks, that we're willing to take on that fight.
Now, ELS said in a written statement to us that actually only three residents are involved in the lawsuit, but that is not true. There are three plaintiffs, but dozens of other residents have signed court documents supporting the lawsuit. That said, though, when we visited the mobile home park, we did meet with some residents who do not support it.
Hi, I'm Chris.
I'm Jean.
Nice to meet you.
You're Chris?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Dick and Jean Bruce welcomed us into their really nice manufactured home. They have an antique banjo clock on the wall. It was their grandfather's and other keepsakes.
Dick is a former head of the park's homeowners association, and he's not a big fan of this lawsuit.
I'm not an advocate per se for ELS. I'm just going to say that they're not as bad as what some folks will make it sound like.
The couple's retired, and they worry about one of the big risks of not owning the land under your house. Companies that own mobile home parks can often raise your lot rent by a lot of money if they want to. And the Bruces worry that forcing the company to spend more money will mean higher rents.
I'm not saying I don't want the flooding fixed, but we need to be aware of what we are asking for and what we may get. Yep. We're on a fixed income. But we've seen our rent go up every year.
And that's not an outlandish concern. With any business in general, whenever a company is required to do something, whether it's more maintenance or a tax, it's an open question how much of this extra cost might get passed along to the consumer. And the way that economists figure this out is with a concept known as elasticity. Essentially, you're looking at who has more options. In this case, ELS or the residents.
Yeah, if costs or rents in this case rise, would many residents try to sell their homes and leave? If so, that might make the landlord think twice about passing extra costs along to them. On the other hand, if most of the residents think their only option is to stay put and just try to cut their other costs, even if that means food and medication to make it work, and I have seen examples of that happening, then the landlord might not have an incentive to eat the extra cost themselves because they can pass them along.
And in this particular park, it seems like there are two groups. Some residents are demanding that this gets fixed, and they're hoping that rents do not rise as well. And there's another group of residents saying, well, hold on, do not poke the bear. Our rents are likely to go up here. And this dispute over what to do has gotten really bitter. In fact, because of that, Jean and Dick recently moved out of the park.
ELS only responded with its written statement, but we found a former ELS board member and current shareholder who would talk to us, Michael Torres. And he says collecting rents without having a lot of expenses is exactly what makes mobile home parks a good investment.
It's just basically resurfacing roads and having a shared community center. You don't own walls and roofs.
Michael now manages more than $2 billion through his company Adelante Capital Management. It invests in publicly traded real estate investment trusts like ELS.
I consider it kind of the gold standard of investing in property.
And Michael wasn't speaking to us on behalf of the company, but he really doesn't seem to have too much sympathy for the homeowners at the park in Florida.
Streets flood. You know, you chose that community, buyer beware. It's like people that move next to a school and complain about the noise.
We should note at this point that some residents say that the flooding is not as bad as it used to be. And in its statement, ELS says it has already spent more than $300,000 improving the storm drainage system over the last 3 years. And it claims that it is, quote, fully operational and compliant.
Some residents disagree with that. In fact, they sent us photos of streets flooding at least 6 inches deep just a few weeks ago after a hard rain. The federal lawsuit is scheduled to go to trial in January.
This episode was produced by Nikki Willett with engineering from Maggie Luther. It was fact-checked by Catherine Yang. Our senior producer is Viet Le, and Kate Concannon edits the show. The Indicator is a production of NPR.